Justin's wearing Groucho glasses, and I can lie about that because you can't see us.
Ken's in drag.
You're Justin Souther, yes. and you review movies for the Mountain Express.
Sometimes. Usually. I do other things, but no one's interested in that.
Yeah, we don't talk
right
about
now.
That, though. That's, you know.
And you're Ken Hankey.
Yeah, and I also review movies for the Mountain Express.
More of them than I do.
And I do very little else because of that fact. So, and we've been to some of these movies, and we've come here to be at least elitist bastards about it. And where is here?
In like a metaphysical sense?
I want an actual geographical sense in this case.
Okay. I hope you were going to talk about the Stargate portal.
No. I want to know about our actual geographic location because I get confused easily.
We're off of Hendersonville. If we were on Hendersonville,
we would be being run over.
We should do that sometime. Can we make that happen?
He's not going to want to stand there. He'll get run over, too.
We can get chairs. You're not going to want to stand.
Well, that's true.
And
we're in the cinema lounge.
Yes, at the Carolina Asheville.
Yes.
This is going to be a long one.
I can tell. Yes, we've been to the movies.
I don't remember what I've watched at this
you
point.
You watched crap. That's why you don't remember it.
Oh, yeah, I did watch.
Well, let's start out with Horse Jinx.
If you want to.
Oh, let's get it out.
Oh,
wait,
you're talking about Secretariat.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, when you comment...
If it's something else, then we can discuss it after the show.
I almost made a very tasteless joke on your comments. On your Secretariat review.
It's probably just as well.
That was a pretty good one, but I didn't want to go that far in public. I'm not going to do it here either. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Anyway, you saw the whole
movie. I saw Secretariat, okay. Which is... being accepted as fact, which, yes, there's a horse named Secretariat. Yes, it won the Triple Crown.
Does this horse talk?
No, the horse does not talk. However, in one of the more egregiously silly aspects of the movie, when the horses are in the starting gate, they exchange meaningful looks. I'm guessing that's what they're doing.
Would you say they're philosophical horses?
To the degree that a horse can be philosophical... Perhaps.
What about a mule?
No mules were involved.
Are they more philosophical?
Well, they should be.
Okay.
But as to whether or not they really are, I don't know. You have any insight into mules?
No. I've never seen a Francis the Talking Mule.
Ah, well.
Thing.
I have, which is unfortunate. But I also knew a mule once. And by that, I actually mean a quadruped, not someone who was just stubborn.
Or trafficking drugs.
Yeah, well, that's another possibility. Anyway, this movie takes place in a 1973 that does not recognize the existence of anything that's going on in 1973 except this damn horse. And it takes place in Brady Bunch land. And it even has a daughter who is like a Marsha clone. And audiences seem to like it.
The movie or the horse?
The movie.
Okay.
Diane Lane is good. John Malkovich dresses funny.
How's the horse?
The horse is fine. It took 5 horses to play this one horse.
Wow.
And no, Sarah Jessica Parker was not involved.
With the horse?
Well, I don't know about that. But I mean, she was not even a stand-in.
Okay.
So... my whole feeling in the matter is...
you loved it. Is that what you're saying?
I would like to die experiencing this film. No, I didn't love this film. No. I thought it was hokey and hackneyed and corny.
Okay.
And I'm sure people will love it, and I'm sure... I'm only surprised I haven't gotten any hate mail because I didn't love it.
Well,
Maybe they've given up.
I haven't finished writing it to you.
Oh, okay. But you haven't seen the damn movie.
I can still send you hate mail.
That's true.
It hasn't stopped anybody from sending anyone hate mail.
Well, that's true. Knowledge is not required to send hate mail. That's true. All right.
And what else did you watch?
No, let's move on to something you watched.
Now.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what did I watch? I watched Life as We Know It.
Yes.
The
Katherine Heigl.
Who gets pooped on.
Josh Duhamel.
Yes.
Romantic comedy with baby puke.
And baby feces. That's really the extent. Nobody gets urinated on.
Well, that's not even realistic. Is this a male baby?
It's female.
Oh, well, then maybe it is realistic. If it's a male baby, it's not realistic.
Okay. It's every romantic comedy / unwieldy baby movie you've ever seen. It brings absolutely nothing new. Besides lots of soft focus, which is really just sort of bizarre.
I don't know. Maybe Katherine Heigl needs soft focus these days.
I don't know.
Maybe he does. I don't know.
But it's pretty much like a really long sitcom.
Well, you know, let's face it. Katherine Heigl peaked with Bride of Chucky. Anyway.
Anyway. Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good?
Yeah.
You're not going to see it again?
No.
Oh.
Maybe I want to watch it the first time.
Yeah, but you took it like a man.
Yes, I did. You know what else I took like a man?
You want to talk about
movie
that here? Oh, okay. All right. What?
Like Dandelion Dust, the pseudo-Christian feel-good adoption drama starring a haggard Barry Pepper and an even more haggard Mira Sorvino and the
ever-popular Cole Hauser.
Yes, which reminds me why he's not in movies.
Well, now, my question, you see, now, I have this sliding scale thing going here. And that is that Cole Hauser is, in reality, Josh Lucas, who is, in reality, Matthew McConaughey.
Well, it's funny you mention this, because
okay.
Josh Lucas is in Life as We Know It.
But you don't see
him.
No,
you don't see them together.
Uh-huh.
And for a minute, I got confused. I couldn't remember which one was in which movie. Well, I was like, is this two Josh Lucas movies?
No, one's Cole Hauser.
But
Josh Lucas is who you get when you can't get Matthew McConaughey.
Right.
And Cole Hauser is who you get when you can't get Josh Lucas, which is really pathetic.
Yes, and Cole Hauser is every bit that bad.
And how stirring and sterling is this?
Well, I was waiting to get into the theater, and these women came out crying. If you can imagine,
I've often felt that way leaving that particular theater.
Yes, but if you can imagine the exact
naming no names. Go ahead.
You keep going.
No.
Can I talk now?
No.
Okay.
I see no reason why. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't even remember what I was going to say now.
You saw these women leaving this movie.
If you could imagine me having the exact opposite reaction to this movie as them.
Okay.
I just thought it was corny and manipulative. And
but how can this
sort
be?
Because a bit morally
this
specious.
It's not a racehorse movie. And then when I saw a corny, manipulative racehorse movie.
Well, this is a corny, manipulative, religious baby drama. Well, it's not a baby, it's a kid. But same thing.
An adoption drama.
Yes. It's not good.
All right.
And it's on the morally specious side, and it's the whole thing's just sort of. It shouldn't bother.
Certainly spent more time talking about it than most people have, even knowing it exists.
Well, it's one of these, one audience award at these film festivals.
Audience award almost always means indigestible goo.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a feel-good picture. It made me feel good. It was all warm and cuddly and fuzzy like a bear.
This one's kind of. It tries to be a little rough around the edges, but it's.
Oh.
But it just sort of smooths over.
Okay.
All the possibly interesting things.
So, in what mysterious fashion, except that calling something faith-based will get you a certain audience, does this qualify as a faith-based movie?
Well, they have church. They have friends that go to church, and
I have friends that go to church. It doesn't make me faith-based.
Why trash Barry Pepper after being a drunk, or he goes back to being a drunk after he gets out of prison? They decide, him and his wife, who's played by Mira Sorvino, they decide they need to call the pastor. So,
what do they call him?
I think it was Fred. Oh, okay. I think like Pastor Fred.
Wait. So,
there you go. What else was there?
What else? Oh, what did I see?
What movies?
Don't snap your fingers at me, young man. Moving. I'll break them. Well, the best thing I saw was clearly it's kind of a funny story.
Okay.
Which is a peculiar film. It's an odd film. It's a romantic comedy drama set in a psych ward. And it manages to, after Justin manages to fall out of his chair, the movie manages to get around all the usual crazy people are so cute cliches. It doesn't use them for the most part. And you have the occasional little flourish of it, but it doesn't do that, and it doesn't do the, oh, crazy people are so much better and so much more in tune with what really matters than sane people, which of course is bullshit. But, you know, it doesn't treat mental illness as something cute. But it is not an unhopeful movie. I think the surprise of the movie for most people is going to be the fact that Mr. Galifianakis, I've learned how to say it.
I don't think that's quite right. But
it's close enough. You say it.
Galifianakis.
Whatever. Okay, in any case, he's remarkably good in a role that is not particularly funny. It starts out like it's one of his comedic roles, but it quickly becomes not comedic. In fact, it's probably the most tragic role in the film. But the film's very playful in a number of respects. It goes into animations and has a musical number in it, which is very smoothly entered and departed in ways that are, I thought, were really interesting. As were also was the fact that the choice of the song, which is a song that has been pointed out to me, has been used a billion times, which I think is a slight exaggeration, in movies and TV shows. And yes, it has been overused, but that doesn't mean that it's ever been used this well.
Right.
It also isn't the song's fault that people have paid money to slap it on their soundtrack. So this is definitely the film of the week, if you think in those terms. Now, I also saw Wes Craven's My Soul to Take in 3D. I'm supposed to hate this movie. I thought it was amusing.
Okay.
The 3D is a complete ripoff. There's no reason for this movie to be in 3D.
Other than the surcharge?
And the fact that they can get another $3 or $3.25 or $3.50 or in some places up to $5. Not for the glasses, mind you. It's for the technology. Yes.
They have the technology?
We all believe they have the technology.
They can show it in 3D.
That's right. In any case, it's an R-rated horror film that has nothing to do with torture porn. It's kind of silly. You have these seven kids who were born at the exact time that the Riverton Ripper probably died.
It's pretty amazing they were all born at the same time.
Well, it was. In fact, there's an issue made of this.
Oh.
Now, the question is, they have this ritual that
they
perform.
Go, these women, they all popped out?
Yeah,
at the
I guess. I don't know. We don't actually watch
like
that part.
Like, at the same...
But that's what they taught.
Well,
they
the
act
time,
this way.
Like,
anyway, don't...
I'm just trying to imagine this.
Well, you should. In any case, 16 years pass, and they've set up this ritual where these kids...
I'm assuming these people really aren't 16. I mean, in the movie, they might be 16, but they're probably...
There are a few of them that actually probably aren't too far from it. But in any case, don't interrupt. Okay.
Okay.
They set up this ritual where they all hang around, and at midnight on the evening of their birth, they have to dispel a mock-up Riverton Ripper who, for some reason, and he didn't in the prologue, now looks like Rob Zombie. I don't know why, but he does.
Okay.
But something happens, and for the first time since they started doing this, now obviously they did not do this when they were toddlers, I don't think. This is not addressed. But for the first time, they don't send him back to the river. Therefore, all sorts of murderous shenanigans start happening. The question is he still alive, or does his soul inhabit one of these seven children?
I don't know.
It's pretty silly. But it's enjoyably silly. There's a lot, and I wouldn't expect you to answer that question. There are so many things that are so silly that they're enjoyable. I mean, I still want to know whether the lead character, whose name is Bug, by the way, just happened to have all these feathers on hand to make this condor suit, or if he went out to a turkey farm and ripped up a whole bunch of birds.
Should I ask why he's making a condor suit?
Well, it's for class. Now, the condor also pukes and has explosive diarrhea. Now, it is not made clear what he's made this ersatz puke and diarrhea out of, but people react to it as if it smells bad, so perhaps we do not want to know.
So he's dressed like...
No, he dresses his best friend up like this for a science class. You know, in any case, the film is not good, but at the same time, I had fun with it, and there's also the fact that, I find this very interesting, the characters are pretty well drawn, but one of the characters is a Jesus freak, and normally religious characters do not get particularly kind treatment in these films, especially from Wes Craven, because Wes Craven is the product of a repressive religious upbringing, which he has kind of railed against ever since, you know. And this girl starts out looking like she's going to grow up to be Piper Laurie as Margaret White and Carrie. In fact, she's dressed like her and she has red hair, so it's kind of hard to not come to this conclusion. Then she turns out to be a pretty likable character, even while spouting all the Jesus stuff. So, you know, it's an interesting take. Unfortunately, she's killed off very early. Actually, once the Ripper gets about his business, we kill off four of the seven kids in, like, no time. So, this, you know, diminishes the suspect possibility a good bit. And the Ripper, when we see the Ripper as he is now incarnated, also looks like a really shabby Rob Zombie. I don't know why, again. There's no reason for him to look like Rob Zombie, but he does in this case. I don't know as I recommend it,
okay. But
I enjoyed it. Wait for it to go out in 2D. There is no reason to pay the extra money for the glasses, excuse me, for the technology, to see this movie. Because it is retrofitted 3D, and it's not even good retrofitted 3D. It's just there. And most of the time, it would just as well not be. So tell me there, little Justin, what are we running at the Asheville Film Society next week?
I believe it's Bill Condon's Gods and Monsters.
I believe you are correct. The speculative, fictionalized story of the last days of James Whale, the gentleman who made Bride of Frankenstein,
right. And
Frankenstein, and The Invisible Man, and The Old Dark House, and the original, well, not really the original, it's the second version of Showboat, but it's the one that matters.
Okay.
And it's a pretty remarkable film in any number of respects. Condon got an Oscar for his screenplay adaptation. Lynn Redgrave was nominated for an Oscar and robbed. for her supporting role as Whale's utterly fictional housekeeper. Ian McKellen is wonderful in the film.
Was he nominated?
No, he was not. I don't know why. And Brendan Fraser was actually really, really good in this film.
Better than Kangaroo Jack.
Is he in Kangaroo Jack, is he?
That's Jerry O'Connell.
That's Jerry O'Connell. It's much
they
more...
have the same fat
no,
head.
No, 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 no. Jerry O'Connell has never done anything worthwhile.
That's probably true.
Brendan Fraser has at least done two things
Joe's
worthwhile.
Joe's Apartment. I don't remember if that was any good. It's probably awful.
So, in any case, this is a truly special film. It manages to be both moving and funny, and often at the same time, or it's funny right after it's heartbreaking. It's very... You've seen this. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's a very... I think it's a very, very special picture.
I'd agree. It's... You know, it's,
I mean, someone said it was one of the best films of the 90s. We'll have no... I won't say who, but... since he usually does our artwork, it probably sounds like a show.
Oh, okay.
But I really wouldn't disagree with that assessment. So, anyway, come see it. We'll show it to you for free.
And so, what a whole slew of new stuff.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was three, and then it grew to four, and the next thing I knew, it was five. Even though two of these strike me as being utterly, utterly negligible.
But which ones are those? The ones I'm watching? Is that what it is?
Well, more or less, except for the fact that you can't seem to do three if I don't want to you to do.
Well, I think that seems
fair. You know, but so in which case, yes, the two thirds of them are actually there are three movies that are absolutely negligible.
Well, what are they? Tell everyone.
Okay, I would say that absolutely on the absolutely negligible side, there is Jackass 3D.
Right.
And that's mainstream and negligible. I mean, it's... I can think of few people that would keep me out of a theater faster than Johnny Knoxville. But then you put Johnny Knoxville together with these people who do a bunch of dumb, stupid, gross tricks, stunts, whatever you want to call them. And... You know, it's kind of like, and you wonder why civilization is falling apart, that people will actually pay money to watch this garbage. I managed to palm the first one off on Marcy Miller. Uh-huh. I did the second one. So I think it really is only fair that this one is yours.
I'm sure it'll be dumb. I've sat through the other ones before. They're stupid, but... At least I can marvel at their stupidity.
Well, I really question, is there going to be anything in this nearly as good as the guy who puts his member into a sock and has a friend dangle said member in front of a snake that then latches on to the end of his
willy? I don't know. Only time will tell.
I guess time and you will tell, because I'm not going to find out. I mean, people, you know, they have all this disclaimer on there about, you know, don't attempt these stuff. I definitely do not believe this is true. I think if you are stupid enough to do these stunts, you should try them. It's called thinning the herd. Natural selection would take place. Nonetheless, it at least is mainstream negligible.
Right. And in 3D.
And in 3D. That's true. God knows what things will be flung at the camera in a Jackass picture. Now,
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
Let's tackle this thing called Insecure, which is not I-N-S-E-C-U-R-E, but N-Secure. Where this thing came from, I have no idea. The booking sheets that I've seen list it as coming from Freestyle Pictures. And while I would not put it past Freestyle Pictures, because they will pretty much release just about anything, I will have to say I can find nothing to support this other than these booking sheets. So perhaps Freestyle is not to blame for this movie that stars no one you ever heard of, except the main character apparently, is in a couple of Tyler Perry plays, which is not to say Tyler Perry films, but those videos of the Tyler Perry plays before they were turned into Tyler Perry films. It's a very weird little cottage industry. It looks awful, and it almost certainly is awful, and I have no idea why the Regal Theater chain has booked this thing. Obviously, a favor was owed somewhere.
Slow week.
Or it's a slow week, yes. Didn't have enough 3D screens to compliment, you know, to deal with Jackass.
Maybe.
Yeah, so. All right, now. And then there is, and this is freestyle releasing.
Uh-huh.
This will go on their permanent record. It's a movie called I Want Your Money, which is essentially, according to what the trailer looks like, mind you, I have not seen this yet. It is a piece of right-wing, midterm election, anti-Obama stuff. Apart from all the usual right-wing talking heads, like I'm going to go, you know, pay money to watch a bunch of right-wing talking heads talk to me about the evils of socialism.
Well,
yeah, I mean, no, it's not happening.
You're
gonna
okay. Go,
well, I'm not going to pay money, so, you know, that's true. I'm getting paid to sit through this.
Yes, so.
But apart from that, there are these animations in which Ronald Reagan teaches Obama about how socialism is wrong and how Obamacare is going to put everyone on the path to slavery. Now, all things being equal, local people will know what I mean when I say the animation appears to be on the level of a Paramount Kia commercial. And I find it somewhat peculiar that in order to make their point, they have no living representatives of their particular party, so they have to resurrect a dead guy to make all this clear to people. Oh well. And obviously, freestyle is looking at this as some quick and easy money because it's election time. So much for ethics. Maybe that is their ethics, I don't know. In any case, that's the negligible stuff. And in the not so negligible, we have
Never Let Me Go.
Never Let Me Go, which is the Mark Romanek film of the unpronounceable Japanese novel. Author. The novel is still called Never Let Me Go. Dystopian sci-fi romance that appears to be the sort of thing that the less you know when you go in, the better off you are.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I now know what the whole premise is, but and of course anybody who has read the book knows what the whole premise is. And that is, you know, what exactly is going on at this peculiar boarding school. The trailer drops hints, but then does not explain what it is, and I'm not sure at what point.
Well, maybe the trailer was for that reason. This is sort of confusing. Like, is this
I think that
piece is it?
Probably is true.
Science fiction.
What is science fiction?
Or is it some place in history I'm just not aware of?
No, it is definitely not some place in history. It is vaguely in the future.
Okay,
but it has a cast to die for. I mean, you got Carey Mulligan, you got Keira Knightley, you got Charlotte Rampling, you've got the guy from The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, you've got
Heath Ledger?
No. Heath Ledger is not in this film.
I was going to say, that's impressive.
It would be impressive, but he's not. No, it's Andrew Garfield, I think his name is. And you've got,
or you could have said the guy from The Social Network.
Yes, but I wouldn't say that.
Or the next Spider-Man.
I still wouldn't say that. I mean, you know, neither of those things impress me. Okay. Being in a Terry Gilliam picture is much more impressive to me. And you've got Sally Hawkins from Happy Go Lucky.
Robin Williams was in it.
In Terry Gilliam. Oh yeah, well, yeah, that's true.
Of course, it was
It's not a guarantee,
okay,
but you know.
I'm just saying. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Let us not get ahead of ourselves. Let you not get ahead of yourself either. Okay. Anyway, that to me is the most interesting looking thing that is coming out this week. Wouldn't you say?
Yes. Red.
Yes, there is Red, which
to me looks like old people with guns, and that's sort of the gimmick, and it loses its appeal as the trailer goes on.
Well, it is old people with guns.
I know, but that just seems like the entire premise. It's like, oh, Telemere with a gun.
You see, that to me is fine. I don't really need anything more than the idea of Helen Mirren with a gun.
I do.
Well, you see, that's why I don't think you should review this film.
No, I know why you think I should.
Well, no, it's only going to cause me extra work, since there's no way that you can fit in three movies if this isn't one of them.
Right.
Therefore, this is not, you know, I'm not, I'm hoodooing myself by saying that. So anyway, I mean, it's you know, it probably is what it is, but I thought the trailer looked clever. He thought the trailer looked stupid, so.
There's something about it that just looks bad.
Well, the director is certainly nothing to get excited about. You know, oh, his man-made flight plan. Oh, dear God, you know.
Where Bruce Willis walks out of the car that's spinning around. It's so corny looking. They could have made this look faker.
Kind of crap that they're going to put in the trailer, though, because they're trying to sell it to people who
doesn't even look good
want to
in
see
the trailer.
Shit blow up neat.
But it looks phony in the trailer.
It doesn't matter if it blows up neat or swings around neat. Entire squeal. It's action.
You're not selling me on this movie at all.
In any case, those are the things that are opening. And I guess that brings us up to some kind of speed.
Mm-hmm.
And,
for this week, at least.
Yeah, well, I mean, as speedy as we get, which is not all that speedy. In any case, I'm still Ken Hanke, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And you?
Justin Souther.
Yeah.
For Elitist Bastards.
And we're brought to you through the kindness of the Mountain Express.
Mm-hmm. And the hard work of...
Not to mention technical wizardry.
Yes. Literal wizardry. He's wearing a wizard's cap.
He is. We don't normally convey that to people. Yeah, it's a charming ensemble, actually. I mean, he wears it in here because if he wore it in the streets, people might stare.
He has a cap. You know why?
Why?
He's Steve Shanafelt.
That's true. He is, which is almost on a par with being the Kwisatz Haderach. It's possibly better in some ways. See, he agrees with that. On that note, I really think we should go.
Okay.